Hear the words of Luke chapter 8. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. We're told in the book of Genesis that three visitors came to Abram and Sarah and on God's behalf announced to them the word of God that they would be having a child in their old age. We're told in Scripture that Sarah laughed to herself. She thought, "How ridiculous is this? I certainly know better than that." Likewise, in the Old Testament, the prophet Elisha commanded the Syrian general named Naaman to go down and bathe in the filthy Jordan River in order to be cleansed of his leprosy. But Naaman exclaimed, "We have better rivers in Damascus." I'm sure he thought to himself, "How ridiculous. I certainly know better than that." In the text before us, when Jesus arrives at the home of Jairus, and knowing that this little 12-year-old girl has now died, he suggests to these mourners, who were probably professionals, "She is not dead, but sleeping." And Luke tells us they ridiculed him. Matthew says in his account they laughed at him. I'm sure they were thinking inside, "We know better than that." And isn't this the case with our minds? We are tempted to think that we know better than what God says when God has spoken on something. This is the essence of all unbelief. It's the essence of all the doubts that you may have about various teachings and doctrines and things of the Christian faith. It's a carryover of the devil's first and really only temptation to mankind. In many ways, the devil is very creative, but in some ways, he's really not. Because the first temptation to our parents in the Garden of Eden is the very one that still vexes us today. Did God really say? Do we really have to listen to that? Does my mind and my reasoning have to bow to that? That doesn't make sense to me. I think it should be this way. I think that's ridiculous that God says that. Our minds are tempted to laugh. And our culture and our society is more than happy to encourage us in that laughter and in that ridicule of the Word of God. But as we see in our text, the very one making this claim that this little girl is not dead but sleeping, the very one making this claim is above all of what we might consider the laws of nature that bind us and hem us in. When the Almighty Son of God looks at a lifeless body of a 12-year-old girl and calls it sleep, I'm sorry, but that's what it is. When the Son of God looks at the future grave of his faithful who trust in him and likewise calls it sleep and a rest, that's what it is. When he calls bread and wine that have been blessed with his word, his very body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, that's what it is. When he calls a handful of water and his word a washing of regeneration, and when he says that this saves us, that's what it is. And that's what it does. When he declares to wicked, sinful people like us, but who trust in him, who put our hope and our confidence in him, that we are now forgiven, and when he labels us and calls us saints before God, that's what we are. when he refers to his faithful in this world as citizens of heaven. That's what they are. You see, when God in his word gives a command, or when he gives a directive, or when he labels something, even though it may contradict what we think, what we feel, and what our society and culture would tell us, he is to be trusted. That's the bottom line. He is to be trusted. And so today, humble your mind and your heart, along with Jairus, to the word of God. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And there will always be a blessing for doing this, certainly eternally, but even elsewhere in our lives, whenever God, through the Holy Spirit, causes us to bow to that word. And not a single person in history has ever been let down who has done so. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning to all of you. Students, you will notice that we have a number of guests on our campus today. This is the Bethany Auxiliary, it is known as, primarily women that love Bethany, love our student body, and love to come and show their support and work on various projects to help us here on the college. So we certainly welcome all of you and thank you as well for your service. We'd like to hear briefly from our Student Senate President, Evan Oman.
On behalf of the student body of Bethany Lutheran College, I would like to extend a warm welcome to the members of the Bethany Auxiliary visiting our campus this beautiful Monday morning. As Chaplain mentioned, I am Evan Oman, the President of the BLC Student Senate. Given this role on campus, I'm in a position to clearly see the positive effect that the Bethany Auxiliary has made in the past. One example would be our beloved coffee lab, made possible by the generous philanthropy of a previous Bethany Auxiliary project. Another good example would be the last year's decision to purchase high-quality snowshoes for student use. This donation has allowed numerous Bethany students to enjoy the great outdoors, even during a Minnesota winter. Overall, I believe these past projects exemplify both the Bethany Auxiliary's mission to serve, along with their ability to churn out highly effective, student-oriented improvements. It is for this reason that students consider themselves blessed to have such powerful advocates of student activity on campus today. Thank you for all the work that you have done and are continuing to do for our college. I hope you find your visit today to be enjoyable, and if you have any questions, feel free to ask any student you see. Helping you out is the least they can do to show their appreciation for the work you have done. Have a wonderful and blessed day. Thank you.